views expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, staff, or management. The following paid program is sponsored by Azorian. Wondering who's in your cyberspace? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, the show where you can learn how to protect your online business and personal information. Charles Tendell is a cybersecurity consultant and ethical hacker, and he's here to answer all of your cyber concerns.
Heads up, everybody. It's Peter Boyles. It's 5 p.m. Get ready for Hacked. You got problems with computers. Kids are being bullied. Somebody's messing with you. How about dating online? Charles Tendell forgot more about computers than most people know. Get ready. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Charles.
What's going on out there in the universe? This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM. So most of you noticed that I was missing Friday, Saturday, and yesterday. I think it's yesterday. Today is Tuesday, right? It's Tuesday, the 21st at 5 or 7 after 5. I was actually out in California. Right? So I was doing some traveling. And those of you who are over on the CharlesTendellShow.com watching the live stream or listening to the live broadcast over the weekend, you kind of know what I was up to over the weekend. You know that I was out there and at the Juneteenth Festival and was working with an organization called ICMCP. Now, most people don't, you know, most people hear when they hear diversity or they hear, you know, interminglings, they hear bringing underprivileged people into a particular space. You know, they've got this grand vision of all of these master programs and everybody has a particular way of doing it. Well, this weekend, I learned a lot about not only how others are seeing that, but how the people involved are doing some really amazing things on how to get, you know, young people and minorities involved in cybersecurity. And the buzz is amazing. The buzz is real. So if you missed it, you can go over to the charlestendellshow.com/live and you can see the live video. Well, you can listen to the live stream. And if you're over on the Facebook page, you can watch this side of the live video, but you can also subscribe to the show. So you can go to charlestendellshow.com and click the subscribe button and get up on all the things that happened over the weekend, or even find it over on YouTube, because we did live video streaming all weekend long, and we met some amazing people. Now, joining me on the show today is the advisory board member and chair of Strategic Initiatives Committee for this group called ICMCP, or the International Consortium of Minority Cybersecurity Professionals. Jules, welcome to the Charles Tendell Show. How are you?
Thank you for having me. How are you, Charles?
I am outstanding. I had an amazing weekend, and you were out there, and everybody from ICMCP was out there, and it was just insane the amount of energy at this event. So, I just, wow.
Yeah, it was. We had a good time. I think or at least I definitely feel like we accomplished what we set out to do. So I'm glad you were able to join us. It was a good time.
Thank you.
And I'm hoping they didn't catch all of the stuff, crazy odds and ends we were doing on the live stream. But if
right.
You did, don't
well,
hold it against us.
You know,
don't hold it against us.
I'll go through and see if we can edit some of those videos. You know, we'll make sure it's only PG-13 rated stuff. Most of it, anyway.
Most.
So, Jules, tell my listeners and say hello to the people over on Facebook that are watching the live stream. Tell
hello,
them,
Facebook, and everyone else listening.
All right. Tell them what ICMCP is and what you do there.
Great. So I am the chair of the Strategic Initiatives Committee on the advisory board for ICMCP. ICMCP stands for the International Consortium of Minority Cybersecurity Professionals.
Mm-hmm.
The organization was founded about 2 years ago by the now Fed Reserve CISO, Devin Bryan, and his wife.
Nice.
The organization was designed to not only bridge the divide in diversity talent, but then also to help those who are ready in the industry to have avenues for support and counsel and mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ICMCP is driving to do now is really to work with some of the largest organizations to provide an environment that is conducive to hiring diverse talent, and then also to create programs by which we can continue to create that talent from, you know, infant, you know, from early girls now coding, all the way through executive level and other leadership leadership roles. So ICMCP wants to be the start and the finish of the cybersecurity career path for minorities and then also for women.
Now, when you say they want to be the start and the finish of that, they want to give them the avenue, the path to connect people already in the industry, and that's going to mentor them or guide them through, and then potentially help them to get a job.
Yeah. So a few of the core programs we're focused on primarily starts with helping people to get into jobs. One of the areas that we get a lot of questions on from the people we reach out to are, you know, how do I get into cybersecurity? I'm currently in a software engineer. That seems to be the most popular position. I'm currently a DBA analyst. I'm currently a systems administrator. Mm-hmm. But I want to pivot into cyber. I'm hearing a lot of great things. So our job is to figure out how to transition those skill sets into a position already in cybersecurity, mm-hmm. or to allow a person to gain the requisite education certification so that they can begin at an entry level role and then move their way up into the industry.
Right on, right on. Well, when most people hear the term minority, they immediately think just black people. But the organization expands beyond that, right?
It does. And so the organization's title, I think, in some ways, you know, reduces the significance of what we're trying to do. It really isn't focused on blacks, mm-hmm. And African Americans and even Africans. The idea is that there are groups within tech that are underrepresented as a whole. And so we like to speak about, you know, African Americans primarily, but we're talking about Latinos. We're talking about Asian populations. So we're thinking Filipinos. We're talking about Vietnamese. And then also we're on all of the other sort of subgroups within each of those areas. And then further, more specifically, one of the hot topics or one of the areas that is of critical concern for us are getting more women into the industry. So while we're saying minorities, it's a way to very quickly give everyone the idea of what we're trying to do. But we're not focused on not necessarily on getting them in as much as making sure that they're included as there are discussions, and everyone is a part of the discussions happening around cybersecurity and helping it to advance as a whole.
Right on.
Yes, but there is a minority focus currently.
Well, Jules, we're up against our first break, so hang out for a minute. We'll continue the conversation after we jump over. If you're just joining, this is Hacked, the Charles Tendale Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM. Check out the website, thecharlestendaleshow.com. You can go to /live, listen to the stream, and get participating. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All clear.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. Two of the greatest concerns that most Americans have, especially as they grow older, are their health and their financial well-being. America's Wellness Clinic is dedicated to providing sensible healthcare solutions and practical wealth-building strategies. Medicare's annual wellness visit is the flagship of the clinic's health-related services. They pay 100% for the visit with zero copay. America's Wellness Clinic also offers Beamer technology, an application that boosts circulation, regenerative abilities for injuries, and increases mental acuity. And America's Wellness Clinic provides a simple test that reveals which prescription drugs will work best for you. And what about your financial well-being? America's Wellness Clinic provides continuous seminars and information about reverse mortgages, insurance, tax and estate planning, long-term care, housing transitions, and alternative investments. Let America's Wellness Clinic provide you with sensible health and wealth solutions. Call 303-985-4604 or visit them online at americaswellnessclinic.com.
It's a difficult decision. When you finally decide to have your hearing tested, where do you go for professional care? Tens of thousands are spent every week on ads trying to convince you to come in for a free hearing test or a sale that's this week only. For professional care, I suggest you take a different approach. I'm Dr. Barbara Jenkins, owner of Advanced Audiology. I have 25 years of hospital and clinical experience treating both hearing loss and tinnitus. My first suggestion? Ask your physician who they would go to, not just who's on their list. Who do they trust? Second, go online and search Doctor of Audiology and then type in your area. You don't want an evaluation performed by a technician or hearing aid salesperson. Your hearing is a serious concern, so you should treat it as such. For more information, go to advancedaudiology.com or call 303-649-2122. Because at Advanced Audiology, we take your hearing seriously.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
It's kind of appropriate having a little green bag. It's weird. Never would have thought that would have been a selection on this show, but welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. We're talking about diversity in cybersecurity and the roadmap or the path that a lot of cybersecurity professionals have a problem with. Like, it doesn't matter where you are in your career, you have problems connecting with the right people and finding the right opportunities that are going to work best for you in this industry, or that are going to give you the opportunity to be the most successful. And it just benefits everyone else for you to be helped along that way. So I'm talking with Jules, the chair of the Strategic Initiatives Committee for the International Consortium of Minority Cybersecurity Professionals. And I one day I will be able to say that all the way through without having to take a breath. But Jules, welcome back. I know you had a lot of practice. You say it like 80 times a day. We were sitting with you out in San Jose. You said it like, oh, look, this is ICMCP. And like, you could just rattle it off without even thinking about it.
Yeah, it requires that you focus, but I've learned how to say it pretty quickly.
Yeah. So I mean, it's one of those things that once you get it down, you kind of have it locked down. You're not going to go anywhere else with it. So before the break, we were talking about how it's a path. It's a full roadmap for not just blacks in the industry, but it's for all minorities in the industry. So what types of groups are most encouraged to participate in something like what ICMCP does? See.
Where we're finding the most interest as it relates to those we're looking to serve is the group I mentioned, are those who are trying to pivot into the field, but also two other groups. One tends to be the parents of children who see it as an opportunity to provide a stable career for their child. So I'm often approached by moms and dads who are hearing what we're doing, and they're like, you know, my kid is currently, you know, in IT, or he's in college and he's studying computer science. Is there anything you can do to help help him to understand what the industry's about and how it is that he could be of help? So we get a lot of questions and emails, actually, communication from parents who are looking to create opportunities for their kids. We also receive a number of requests from those who have CISSP certifications, CH certifications. They've basically gone through the steps to get all the right requisite certifications. Mm-hmm. They have, spent their time applying to all the jobs. They're, you know, responsive, qualified, but they're not getting the jobs, primarily because they don't have enough experience in order to demonstrate that they should be hired.
That's another
area that we're looking to tackle.
That's a good point. And I think we had a similar conversation along the lines of this over dinner, at least once during my weekend there. But one of the things that I always get, and I run into a lot in this industry, is people are saying, you know, I'm a minority and it's harder for me to get in. And people automatically jump straight to, it's somebody else's prejudice that's preventing this minority group from getting in. But it sounds like it might not be that cut and dry. Is that what it's seeming like?
It is. Nothing's ever cut and dry.
I'll say
that to start. But I think there are two dilemmas. I think on one hand, the industry is ready to accept more minorities in positions.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the other hand, our industry suffers as one of the only areas where there is under unemployment. So people have more jobs, have two or more jobs in our industry. So it's very hard to hire someone if they're already hired in a position.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when people are looking for someone to fill a role, typically they're poaching them from another company because that's quicker, because you don't have to train them. They can immediately get started. They have the requisite knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot longer for you to bring someone in and train them.
Mm-hmm.
That requires an initial upfront investment. It requires you to really quickly gauge their long-term viability. And then also, because of the fact that we have record employment,
right,
that person might be in the job 6 months and their value increases twofold and they
right.
leave again.
Uh-huh, because
so
somebody dangles a bigger carrot.
That's what we're finding.
Right.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So it's not that people don't want to hire these kinds of candidates, and it's not that that prejudice doesn't exist. In the environment in which we're finding that the issue of diversity exists, we're troubled and plagued by the fact that we can't keep other people in jobs that that are open. There are a significant amount of jobs that are open, and yes, that you have the passion, but how do we know that you're going to stay in the job?
Mm-hmm.
That's one area. But I think the second area is I too often see people who are told no, and because they've heard no, immediately it's about the someone else. As opposed to sort of looking at the situation and saying, hey, maybe this company isn't right for me, or maybe I need to take a different approach, it becomes I'm not being asked to join this company because of XYZ reason that
right.
is outside of me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a strong opinion that the time has come for us to move beyond that. And what we need to do as, you know, minorities, and in order to reduce diversity, reduce the gaps to more inclusion, is to allow people to demonstrate in some real way. So people have to be better about indicating in their resume what the skills are that are transferable.
Right.
They need to demonstrate in some way beyond just, you know, words on paper that they want to do the job, that they're qualified to do the job. And the reason why we have the issue is something that they can overcome. You have to believe you can overcome it in order to overcome it.
Right.
So once I believe people get there, it'll be much easier for us to demonstrate whether the real reason is a lack of willingness to diversify, or if there are other things at play. I think too many people go quickly to, I'm a minority, that's why I'm not in.
You know, and
there are lots of other things that we need to consider.
Yeah, see, that was the point of the whole question. Was I've seen that on more than one occasion where people are saying, you know, I'm black, that's why they didn't hire me. I'm Latino, that's why they didn't hire me. I'm Asian, that's why they didn't hire me. And I'm like, you know, that's probably not it. And me personally, I feel offended when people say, when people are like, you know, I wasn't hired because of the color of my skin. Well, I'd rather be hired on the quality of my work, or the style that I have, or the resources that I bring, the experience that I bring to the table, versus, you know, getting special privilege. But it also does say, hey, you have to show that you know what you're doing, that you're getting
yeah.
there. You have to have yeah. more than just the desire to get the job. You have to have the desire to get the job
yeah.
done.
Exactly. And in my statement, I think I was clear to say that I don't necessarily believe in all cases that it's not having to do with them being a minority.
Mm-hmm.
But I think too often it's a crutch, and it allows you to make the excuse as to why you didn't get the job.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel better. It's kind of your security blanket. But I think also that there in the security world is a tendency to want to hire people that kind of make you feel comfortable, because
right.
you need to hire people who you trust. And so there's an element of it that does bear some bit of bias and prejudice. But I don't think it's as much as we like to think. So
mm-hmm.
I do believe that there are efforts that we can make. And I think Google has been very good at this. What they talk about with their employees is unconscious bias.
Right.
And making sure that as you're making decisions, you're checking to see if you're impacted by unconscious bias. You're thoughtful and you're making decisions based on what facts you know and data that you can prove.
Exactly.
And I think that will be something that will get us much further ahead, and it will allow us to distance ourselves from excuses. And if after that, minorities are still having a really tough time getting a job because they've demonstrated that they can do the job, and they have demonstrated and they're showing the data to prove that, you know, that were they in the job, they would be able to do it well, and then they're actually doing it well, we wouldn't have to keep overcoming the hump. I do feel like, though, it requires the companies to be open to this, and then also the candidates to be open to this approach as well.
And I say that's something that I've always grown up with. And, you know, my mother instilled in me, you know, shoot for the moon, and if you fall, you're still amongst the stars. But an easier way to relate to it is be so good they can't ignore you. You know, they have, you take away every other excuse that there could potentially be for them not to give you the job. I mean, it's I'm not saying you go in there and you beg for it or anything like that, but I see a lot of people that come into this industry, you know, and it happens to be a lot of the older generation that come into this industry. They've got years of experience in, say, accounting, and they think they can swing directly over into cyber or come into and be, you know, I want to be VP of cybersecurity at XYZ company, and then it wonders why they don't get the job. I've got 30 years of experience being an executive, but you don't know anything about this very rapid, very, very detail-oriented, you know, and very complex, you know, defense that is cybersecurity. I mean, you get guys who go out, they get a couple of certifications and they think they're ready, but they don't take the time to connect with the right people and develop sort of a personal portfolio, you know, which I guess becomes your resume, and that you can present to these people. So it's good to know that I'm not the only one who's thinking of that line.
You're definitely not. And I think a function of what we're trying to do is part of what you said, which is give our members no reason to be denied a position. Mm-hmm. We want to give them everything they need in order to be well-equipped to get the job. But I think also what is more important is that as we're moving into the new, I think there's a new sort of the next stage, or, you know, I don't like to say next gen, but the next generation of cybersecurity, I think the skills required in order to get jobs is changing. Mm-hmm. And unless you're keeping up with that, unless you have the requisite business skills, unless you're someone who can communicate well, unless you're able to really defend and justify why you're asking for money, mm-hmm. You're going to be left behind. So what we want to do is keep our members ahead of the curve, and so that by what we call bridging the gap is really bridging the gap with knowledge. It isn't just, you know, you're a minority, let me tell you the secrets to get the job. It's like, you should be the best candidate that they've ever seen, and you'll get the job. Right. That's really what we're trying to do, is to bridge that gap.
Wow. See, and that's what I like to, like, I love hearing that. And it was one of the most powerful things that I had seen when I met you guys the first time out in DC for the inaugural conference back a couple of months ago, was it wasn't like it wasn't a, hey, you're a minority, because you're a minority, let me give you a leg up. It was, no, it's because you're a minority that you need to forget about being a minority and just be the best at what you can do. And I was inspired, because everybody was sharing, everybody was giving out information freely. I mean, you had the occasional, you know, vendor, but everybody there was trying to lift up everyone else, you know, and it was very refreshing to see that. And then after this weekend, you know, seeing that people were coming over, and people from all kinds of walks of life. I mean, I think we talked to a guy in the solar industry who was interested in it. We talked to, you know, we talked to guys in robotics. We talked to what was she? She was a immunogeneticist or something like that, that was interested in coming into cyber. And they were on the right path. They were all saying, how can I get in? And you guys sitting there were saying, look, we can connect you to people that can teach you, that can show you, that can put you in places where you can get into the industry. There's no silver bullet. We're just going to make the path a little clearer for you to be able to you know, connect with the right people. And that was amazing.
I think it was also about being a destination for people who look similar. So I think a function of it is also, you don't see a lot of people, you can't tell who's in cybersecurity by looking at them.
Nope.
And I think because it's such a hot industry, whenever someone finds out I'm in cyber, it's like, oh, I've been looking to get in. I would love for you to talk to me. So I think we're trying to create a destination for someone who's looking, and we can provide the resources, and they know where to go if they have these questions.
Right.
So that's also something we're trying to do, is to make ourselves a resource.
We're up against one more break, so hang out with me still for a little bit. We'll continue when we get back. If you're just joining, this is Hack, the Charles Tendale Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I'm talking to Jules from ICMCP about how to get in and be successful in cybersecurity. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey. Facebook people out there listening, if you're over on the charlestyndaleshow.com listening to the live stream, you get these little extra tidbits of me being able to talk because there's 60 seconds right here that I get to play with. But what all of you should be doing, if you're over on Facebook, if you're watching me pointing at you, yes, you, comment, questions, concerns, do whatever it is you need to do, but share the page. Go over to the charlestyndaleshow.com, subscribe. It's in iTunes, it's on Stitcher, it's on Blog Talk, you name it, it's out there. You can find it anywhere over at the charlestyndaleshow.com. If you want to get more information about who's on the show, it's always in the show notes. You can always find it at the charlestyndaleshow.com. So get connected. You can shoot me an email, charles@thecharlestyndaleshow.com. So stay connected and keep watching. Thank you.
This is Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock and investment advisor and financial planner for JF Thompson Wealth Management. Please join me on Denver's Money Talk Radio as we chat about how to protect your investment portfolio and overall financial plan. So listen to me, Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock, 8 a.m. on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. KDMT, where I coach you on how money really works.
Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock, weekday mornings at 8 on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Now that school is out, you may be wondering how your kids will occupy their time without the influence of TV, video games, and the internet. Here's an idea: summer camp. Better yet, how about 50% off summer camp? Hi, this is Eric from the Experience Pros, and I'm proud to introduce ExperienceProsDeals.com. Right now, as summer kicks off, we're featuring special deals on summer camps ranging from 1 week to 1 month, and all at 50% off at ExperienceProsDeals.com. Hurry, they sell out fast. ExperienceProsDeals.com. That's ExperienceProsDeals.com.
If you or a loved one has had your life turned upside down due to an accident, call Jeremy Cave. He'll work day and night to get you the money you're entitled to. Unlike a lot of attorneys today, Jeremy Cave makes house calls, and he's there for you every step of the way. Cave Law understands that many of you folks who listen to this station prefer to have a lawyer who sees things from your point of view. Well, Cave Law thinks it's time to put the personal back into handling personal injury. Call Jeremy Cave today, 720-213-3737. Jeremy Cave only gets paid when you do. Call Cave Law now for a free at-home consultation, 720-213-3737. If you're injured in an accident, call 720-213-3737 or check out their brand new website, cavelawyer.com. That's cavelawyer.com. Personal and caring service from Cave Law. Call Jeremy today at 720-213-3737 or visit cavelawyer.com.
We now return to the Charles Tendale Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
I just love that song. My daughter's actually been driven sick of this song. She's like, it's Daddy's new favorite song. How could it not be? How can you not love Jimi Hendrix? Welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendale Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you've got questions, or you're interested in how you can get into cybersecurity, you want to hear the real tips from people in the industry and designing it, you can give us a call, 303-632-4160. I'll get you on and get you involved in the conversation. Number again, 303-632-4160. Or you can go to all the different websites, mostly go over to the charlestyndaleshow.com. You can click the subscribe button. It's in iTunes. It's in Stitcher. It's, you know, you name it, it's there. And all of the contact information you need to get a hold of me or any of the guests on my show are on the charlestyndaleshow.com. Or if you're just one of those app people and you want another app and you want to keep staying in there because apps are awesome and you want to listen to some of the other people that operate on this station, you can go to your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app. You can listen to this show live. You can send me a text message to the show. You can listen to the other shows in the lineup, Connect and Collaborate, Experience Pros, and Jeff Thompson and his Retirement Jock Show. All fantastic audience, all fantastic information, great people with great ways of doing the same thing. And just check them out. Download the app from your favorite app store, 1690, and just get connected and stay there. So if you're just joining, I'm talking to Jules from the International Consortium of Minority Cybersecurity Professionals about how the path for getting into cyber isn't as complex as it seems and how her organization is working to bridge the gap and make it even easier. So, Jules, welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Charles.
Right on, right on. So before the break, we were talking about during the break, you and I were talking that it's more along the lines of it's not just who you know, but what you know that gets you the job, right?
Yes.
So what kinds? So what kinds of programs or what types of interactions does ICMCP afford its members? So I'm a new guy. I'm brand new to the industry. I mean, I know what you guys have given me capability to do, but if I were the brand new guy coming in and I just signed up, what should I expect to be the best way for me to capitalize or to stay on the right path?
Great. So we're a fairly young organization. We've probably been around 2 years. And so our first year was spent really within the industry, gathering as much data as we could about the challenges that members would have.
Mm-hmm.
So in the stage we're at now, one of the first things that we thought would be helpful was developing technology that would allow members to connect themselves to mentors and mentees. So if you're an experienced cybersecurity professional and you're someone who's looking to get involved and have a lot of experience to share, what we were asking them to do was to go to the site, become a member, and then we would have technology pair them with a mentee looking either to get into the same field, had similar background, and would be able to provide information that would resonate with that mentee. We've had some great successes so far where mm-hmm. The mentee has been able to identify internship opportunities, send over scholarship information, and then actually help them to prepare responses to scholarships to ensure not only that they respond, but that they respond in a way that will allow them to actually win the scholarship. And so a lot of the interactions at this stage is about figuring out with the person what is their immediate goal, what are they looking to accomplish.
Right.
Some, like I said, just need guidance.
Okay.
But there are others who are really actively looking for jobs. And for those members, what we're doing is we're partnering with some of the largest organizations across the globe. We're in talks with some of the Fortune 500 in order to integrate our members into their ongoing programs. So, for instance, what we would do is if there's an established program currently in that organization, mm-hmm. we would work with the chief diversity officer. We would work with the leader of the security team. We would identify jobs that we knew were open, and then we'd have these conversations on the behalf of our members about what the job required, you know, what they were looking for, what the ideal candidate should bring to the table. And then we would then take it back and we would prepare the members. We would let the members know about the positions and then start to prepare them and walk them through, assign them to someone who could help them to prepare for a particular position in the company,
mm-hmm.
maybe someone within the company, an employee that may already be working at the company,
mm-hmm.
so that not only do they talk through exactly what the job requires, but what's the culture of the organization, what are the goals of the security team, where does the security team fit within the organization. So all of those things subconsciously impact whether a candidate gets a job. So
mm-hmm.
we're looking to do the digging on behalf of our members, and our interaction is about us gaining from our member what their needs are and how we can help them do it even better.
Now, see, for me as a cybersecurity professional, I'm listening to this and I'm like, so why not? Like, why would any organization not want to do this kind of program? I mean, it sounds like you guys do all of the heavy lifting. So you're making the transition. You're taking the burden of them seeking out the greatest candidate, right? You're taking all of that off of their plate and saying, tell us what it is that you need specifically, and we will go and source the right candidate. And if we find one that's close match, we can team him up with the right person to make them even better a match for you. What's the dilemma there? Is there a delay or something that's causing these companies to have problems in this area?
Well, you can imagine one of the limitations is time,
mm-hmm.
and the other is resource.
Yeah.
So a lot of the work we do is very, very labor intensive. We do have to have meetings. We do have to schedule to get the data collected. We have to then do the matching. So there is a limitation in how many organizations we can work with at this particular time.
Okay.
And then also every step takes, a wealth of time from the security team and some other things they may have to do. So I have not met an organization to date who has said we are not interested in that. But I have met organizations that are a particular time in their either development or the growth or maturity of the security program where it maybe doesn't make sense for them to work with us. Mm-hmm. And so they are people who we wouldn't have as an immediate priority. We would want to start with those who are ready, poised, and ready to bring on the talent we have in our members.
So what are you doing? What are you doing for the members that join ICMCP that are already prepared, like have the experience and have the proper resume, the proper portfolio? And you've got these companies who are saying, you know, we don't need someone 6 weeks from now. We need somebody now. How are you connecting those two parties together that way?
So, yes. Yeah, so right now what we're doing is we're identifying jobs for them.
Right.
If they're already paired with a mentor, their mentor is sending them jobs on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. We're providing jobs within our upcoming newsletter so that they have the ability, if they're ready, to get access to the jobs. Because really the issue is that it's not that there's a lack of knowledge. It's just there's so much data that we have to mine through, and actually we also have to be deliberate about what we're sending out. So we're trying to provide as much information to our members as possible without overwhelming them.
Mm-hmm.
So in the many communication channels we have for our members, if you're poised and ready, we're getting that information to you via email and sometimes even via text message if you've got the right, if you've agreed for that that communication. I think the other way we're doing it is we're looking to partner with some of the world's best recruitment firms. And we're helping them to fill jobs because we have the talent. So we're working with them. They have job requisites recs on their desk. We're telling them, you know, let us know what you capture all the information, give it to us, and we'll provide you with the talent pool. So we're working on very many levels to get the information that those who are job ready to them as quickly as possible so that they can respond in a timely fashion to open positions.
Right. Now, what about, now, there's also the aspect of the professional who is ready in their mind, like, I'm ready for this, but they're clearly not ready. What kind of safeguards does ICMCP have? Like, you get this mentor, and I love what you did with the mentee. Like, every time you say it, I'm like, Man, is this a Mentos commercial? Because, you know, freshness better. Like, ha. But you get these guys that come in and they're like, I'm ready. I'm cybersecurity ready. And they know nothing. I was going to use another word, but I don't think it would go over the FCC.
I think that typically, so like I said, resources require that we be very deliberate about where we spend time. We don't necessarily know right away that someone's not ready,
mm-hmm.
but we do know if they keep applying to jobs and keep being turned down because they keep putting the same resume out with the same level of experience, certifications, and they're not getting any responses back.
Mm-hmm.
So in those situations, we will do resume reviews. We'll have someone look over your resume and give you feedback on what changes you can make to it. We'll do job interview skills. And I think more than anything, what we're doing that's helpful is networking events,
mm-hmm.
and allowing other members to teach each other, to communicate, to support each other, to give advice. Because, like I said, we in the organization can't do everything, but we can provide opportunities for members to share and see that the job you're applying for, a security engineer, you think your resume is great, and you have another security engineer take a look and say, hey, you haven't been in IT any more than 2 years, but your job you're applying for says senior security engineer. So it's about making sure that we can provide opportunities for people to connect and do some of the work that maybe we can't, because like I said, we'll provide as much information as we can, but we have to be very resourceful in how we're using our time and our resources.
Okay. Well, Jules, we're up against one last break. If you guys are just joining, this is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM. We're talking about how to get into cybersecurity. We're going to wrap up after the break, so be here. We'll be right back.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
In the summer, it's hot in the upstairs bedrooms most of the day. Our office is up there and it's sweltering. We've used one of those big fans in the evening, but it pulls in too much dust and pollen. The AC ran constantly, yet the only cool place in the house is the basement. My husband started insisting we buy a new air conditioner, and that's when I called the people at AirSwap. AirSwap showed me my furnace and air conditioner are the right size for my house, and my air conditioner was working just fine. They adjusted our ductwork, created stronger airflow to distribute all that cool air in the basement. And this even helped us save electricity. The house is more comfortable in the winter as well. They reduced the big temperature difference between the floors, and now the upstairs is comfortable during the day and early evening. Call them at 303-761-0729, on the web at air-swap.com, 303-761-0729, or air-swap.com.
As the school year draws to a close, so many parents are wondering how they will help their kids occupy their time without the influence of TV, video games, and the internet. This year, consider Chile, Colorado camps for your child or teen. Located close to home in Estes Park, Chile, Colorado camps believes that every summer in a young person's life is a window of opportunity. An opportunity to provide meaningful experiences that will nourish their body and spirit. An opportunity to put aside the competitive demands of school and sports. Chile, Colorado camps will take the time to make sure your child or teen slows down and explores the world around them. At Chile, Colorado camps, your child or teen will go hiking, horseback riding, backpacking, whitewater rafting, and so much more. What better way to discover new strengths without outside pressures or expectations than to get out of the city and come camp at Chile, Colorado camps? For more information or to sign up for camp this year, visit Chile.com. Again, that's Chile.com.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
We can drink some water on that one. The sweet emotions. Welcome back to Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you missed it, if you've been lingering, if you've not already done so, head over to thecharlestendellshow.com and click the links that say subscribe, click the live listen button. You can even go to thecharlestendellshow.com/live. You can watch the show when I stream it on the website. Most of the time it's on Facebook, though, or you can listen to the live stream audio version of it, or you can find it in SoundCloud, iTunes, or anywhere else you can imagine where there might be a podcast. Just punch in Hacked with an exclamation point and you will find it. And you can see it. It's a picture of me holding a computer where my face should be. It's a fantastic image. But if you're just joining, this is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690. I'm talking to Jules from the International Consortium of Minority Cybersecurity Professionals about how to get into this industry. It's hot. Everybody wants to get into it. I can't tell you how many times over the course of a week, a month, or days that somebody comes to me and says, how can I get in? And it's a lot. It, you know, people are overwhelmed and see this as too many barriers, too many roadblocks. You know, I want to get in. I think I know what's right, but nobody in the industry is helping me. And all the guys in the industry are working to keep their jobs because they're worried that somebody else is going to come and take them. And this organization has put together a program that makes that path easier. So it's a win-win. So just, man. So Jules, what's the website? Where can people go and find out how to get connected with ICMCP?
So ICMCP's website is www.icmcp.org. Mm-hmm. If you visit our website and you'd like some more information or to interact directly, we're also on Facebook. You can check us out there. We're just search for ICMCP. We also have a LinkedIn page and a LinkedIn group. Mm-hmm. Once you become a member, you could easily become a part of our LinkedIn group. And then finally, you can find us on Twitter. So there are many ways to connect with us, but the best place to start is our website.
ICMCP.org. Hey, I said it the first time that time. That's cool. I wasn't thinking.
You did.
I got it right that time. You know, but
you got to stop thinking about it.
Yeah. And you know, I wanted to get it out there because it is something that I am definitely passionate about. And you know, it's one of those organizations, it's one of those groups that I see you guys moving and growing and building. And I mean, just this event from this weekend, you know, the people that came in and people were like, hey, I want to be able to get access to people in the industry. And then it was amazing because you were just like, look here, let me introduce you to Charles. And I'm like, oh, hi,
yeah.
You know, let me show you something. But it's just the people that I've met in this industry. You know, we've got executives from the Federal Reserve, from Cisco, from Symantec. We've got, you know, there are executives that I've met at the introductions of this organization that have just blown my mind. And it's amazing to me that all all of these people and all of these large companies. I mean, we went on a tour of the Google complex while I was out there. You know, all of the people in all of these companies are all saying, we need you. We just want you to be the right person. And that's what you guys are making.
Exactly. It really isn't rocket science what we're doing. We obviously see a need. We're looking to fill that need. But the reception has really felt like a groundswell. I think, for the most part at the event, I'd see someone headed over to the Macy's booth. They turn to their right and go, wait, I've been looking for you guys. And they would sit and talk to us.
Uh-huh.
It was like, I felt like I had candy. And literally we had no candy at our booth.
Nothing.
People kept coming over and asking and saying, we want to work with you. What can we do to get you guys more jobs?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had the vice mayor of one of the cities nearby. He was like, let's talk about funding. When can you guys come back out? It's amazing once you open your mouth and ask what you can get in return.
Yeah.
So it's been really astounding, and I'm excited to be a part of this organization at this time.
I mean, it's like I said, it's been one of those things that have just kind of blown my mind in the way that it's working, the way it's organized, and the passion that people are pouring out into other people. And the other thing that blew my mind was everybody that was out there, myself included, everybody that was out there was a volunteer. Right. Everybody was there to come together to do all of this. And I mean, we went up on stage and I got to play with people's phones and, we listened to some great music. It was a fantastic event. But I mean, maybe it wasn't that we had candy. I mean, we had the robot, the robot who I forget the college. Yeah. Was it MIT?
Right.
Somebody like that.
It wasn't MIT. It was Marist College, which is has now partnered with Cisco to develop a cybersecurity program.
Yeah.
So they were there along with Cisco.
They had the frisbee throwing robot that nobody realized was a robot until they broke out the controllers and were like moving it around. It was like, oh man. So we had that thing. And then we were right next to the bouncy houses, but it was right. You said, people would be just strolling by and you'd see that look on their face. They'd be like, what is this? What is going on here? And then they'd read it and the light bulb would come on.
So that's exactly it. And they would be like, so tell me about this. It's not even like they knew, like they were targeting us. It was like, this seems really interesting. And I keep hearing a lot about cybersecurity. Tell me what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people, it's an opportunity to connect them with something that had we not shown up, they would not have had an opportunity or may not have had an opportunity to really talk to someone about.
Or would have ended up with the wrong opportunity.
And then there are many of those. Thank goodness I don't think we're going to provide any of those, but you're right. It's a good opportunity. The trust level is up. The guards are down.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no stupid questions. And I think that's what we're trying to create.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
those moments.
It was very welcoming. I mean, we said at the beginning in the first segment, and if you guys out there missed it, CharlesTendellShow.com, click the subscribe button. You can figure it out on the first segment of this show. You'll see it. It'll be notes and there'll be links to ICMCP.org. But when we started this, it says minority in the title, but that doesn't mean that you can't get involved. Regardless of who you are and where you are in your walk in life when it comes to cyber, ICMCP can help you get over that. They can help you get past the barriers that might not be anything more than just you got the wrong acronym on your resume. Like, come
exactly.
on, guys. And girls.
And most importantly, if you listen to the stories of the people who are in security now, and I talk to CISOs and engineers and analysts, at least 20 to 30 a week, and none of them thought they'd be in cyber.
Right.
They mostly started somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So they all had to go through the same journey. And if they were able to make it in, then you can too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about how you go about the process, and it's about not stopping. So, I mean, that's really the key here and why I liked the Juneteenth event was I'm really passionate about helping people to overcome what they view as obstacles.
Right.
Because I'm an attorney by background. I studied public communications, media studies. I did not have in my roadmap cybersecurity, but here I am on a radio show about cybersecurity talking about how to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is about start to ask the questions, get involved. I'm helping someone now working actively with ICMCP who was formerly in the mortgage industry and is now looking to get, she's about to get her first job in cyber,
mm-hmm.
but only because she did the work. She
mm-hmm.
came in, she did the work, and someone wanted to give her the chance. You have to find the person who wants to give you the chance. and keep looking until you do.
Well, I mean, that's the other aspect of it. And that's something else that ICMCP, that from what I understand, does. The mentorship program, right? It's someone's going to give you a chance, but someone gave your mentor a chance, and your mentor can see those signs coming. And, you know, this is a really small community. Like there are guys that I met in New York, you know, that I ran into at one point in California. Like I ran into we're probably all going to run into each other at DEF CON and Black Hat this year, because we all go to the same places. We all meet the same, you know, people. But some of us, you know, we've spent the time, we've got time in the industry, and we've got connections higher up. And like, I've got an old boss who called me recently and said, "Hey, do you know anybody hiring?" And I'm like, "Hey, actually, boss, I do. Let me send your resume around to a couple of people. Here's some things you might want to tweak, but let me send it around." And that community is, I think, what needs to be brought out more in cybersecurity.
Yes. And it's, that's what it is that many people don't know about the community. So our job right now is to build awareness. So we're on shows like this. We're going to events. We're creating our own events. And then we're doing some media. We're actually, ICMCP is sponsoring the ISC Squared Foundation's upcoming diversity report.
Oh, wow.
It's the first of its kind. We want to understand the challenges of our workforce and be able to figure out, based on the data, what our program should look like in order to remove those challenges.
Right.
So we're really active in anticipating what's coming, and then also providing what we see to our members. So I really invite everyone to join the organization if you have a remote interest in it. It doesn't matter what color, what racial background, what language. Join. We'll figure it out once you become a member.
Now, see, I actually posted this question over on another website that I'm pretty active on called Peerlyst. And I recommend you get in on it. It's PEERLYST.com, I think it is. There'll be some links there. But and I posted this question up there of, what does diversity mean in cybersecurity? And to me, it's always been, it doesn't mean I need to diversify, as in I need to have this number of blacks or African Americans, this number of Asians, this number of whatever else going on here. It's we want people from diverse backgrounds to bring their history, their style, and their ideas to the table for a common goal. Is that the right way to think about diversity in cybersecurity?
It really is. I think, you know, so diversity and its definition changes based on where our society is. So when everyone first began to address diversity, the biggest issue was race and gender. And as we've become more comfortable with the conversation, and we keep hearing the word diversity over and over again, what we've understood is that, you know, you could have two people of different racial backgrounds who grew up in the same neighborhood, have the same experiences, who have the exact same opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're looking to replicate.
Because you're not going to make any progress.
I mean, we're basically just, everyone looks heterogeneous, but it's homogenized because they can only bring the same things to the table. What we want is diversity of experience, diversity of thought, diversity of perception, and in order to solve a very complex challenge. Even if you look at the non-technical roles that our people are moving into, easier than technical roles, what you find is the teams that come in from other areas, either they have an MBA, they have a legal background, they've got, you know, formerly they were an instructor in some other language, they don't look at the problem the same as some of the technical guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can provide a perspective that would not be there.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to encourage diverse experiences, diverse opinions, and allow that to feed and to help us to mature the industry. And I think if there's anything we're looking to do, that's it. And so I like the fact that you've highlighted that minority can be limiting, but it shouldn't limit you from joining our organization, because our focus is on a diversity of thought, experience, and then also down the road, more movement to inclusion and just making sure there are lots of different people at the table. That's
right,
really
on
what we're trying to get to.
See, that's good that we can delete the minority, or diversity is not focused on the color and minority isn't
right.
All of that. We need to make sure you've got everything. Well, Jules, we've got 1 minute left. One more time. It's icmcp.org that people can get on to get a hold of you. Where else can they go? They can follow you on Twitter, and what else?
Yeah, so we're available, like I said, on LinkedIn. Just search for ICMCP. We have a LinkedIn page and group. We have a hashtag for the event that was ICMCP Juneteenth. You can take a look at some of the pictures from the event. Also, ICMCP has a Twitter page. And then finally, like I said, our destination page is icmcp.org. You can also reach me, Juliet.Okafor. At icmcp.org if you have any particular questions that I can answer.
Right on. Well, Jules, thank you. You've been a fantastic guest. Sorry, but we are out of time. If you guys missed it, go to thecharlestendellshow.com, subscribe. This was a great one. You can learn how to get into the industry and get more resources. Don't go anywhere. We've got more stuff like this all week long. This has been Hack the Charles Tendell Show on 1690 AM.
KDMT Arvada, Denver. We're all about money. Denver's all new Money Talk 1690 AM.